The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
So a couple years ago, someone gave me a book called Kids Ask God Questions. Here we go. Jenny says, "Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there now." "Dear God," from Sam, "I want to be just like my daddy when I get old, but without the hair all over my back." "Dear God," Jacob says, "are you a ninja? Is that why I can't see you?" Ruth says, "Dear God, I think the stapler is your best invention." Two people like that. "Dear God, please change the taste of asparagus. It's gross. Thanks, Sarah." "God, I don't think you have to worry about me. I always look both ways, Dean." "Dear God, are you going to be in church this Sunday?" "I hope so, because I want to show you my new shoes, Mickey." "Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp next year, Peter." Can anyone relate to that? "Dear God, my turtle died. Is she there with you? If so, she likes lettuce." And finally, "Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but you got it wrong. I wanted a puppy." You know, for these kids, this is their reality. This is their hardship. And if we were to frame it for us adults, it would be so different. We would have the weirdest and most serious questions like, you know, "My neighbor, why, God, are you allowing her to have a brain tumor that seems inoperable? And why is the couple down the street, their marriage falling apart?" And just fill in the blank. Why does blank happen to blank? And it's because as you get older, we realize a couple things, that life gets hard. And we don't like to talk about it, but I think that's what's so neat about the Bible. And when I became a Christ follower, I was told that if you give your life to Christ, a couple things will happen. One, you'll have love, joy, and peace. And that's true. It did happen. But I wasn't really informed that we would have difficulty. And so we're in 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, where the author, his name's Paul, and he was a Messianic Jew like me, meaning he was a Jewish guy who came into an encounter with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And he begins to unpack for us in this letter some of life's difficulty. But before we go there, I want you to look at a couple scriptures with me that reaffirm that whole fact. And I don't know about you, but have you ever thought about, if you ever had to write the Bible, what you would put in there? And would you make it, like, you know, smoother and sweeter than it really is? And I find that the Bible, not only is it God's word, but it's not only is it truthful, but it just tells us practical things. And so Jesus had a half-brother named James. James did not believe in Jesus until after the resurrection, and then later, years later, became a church leader, and he wrote a book called The Book of James. That was good. And here's what he says. He says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." In the Greek word, this is like various kinds. Like, there's some trials that are, you know, skim the surface, and there's some that are really deep, and there's some that are really difficult. He says, "Now, you know that the testing of your faith," so the definition of trials is the testing of our faith, "your test of faith produces perseverance." Everybody say perseverance. Is another word for endurance. And he says this: "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Now, Peter, who is a follower of Jesus, he was a fisherman. He understood this same dilemma. And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when its glory is revealed." Now, when I came to Christ, I was not told that part of the package. I wasn't told that there might be suffering for me. And that's not a kind of a message that we want to hear. And it's not the one we like to deliver to people. But in the reality of it is, as a Christ follower, it's just part of the package. It's part of the deal. And it's not a part of the deal that I liked. Can anybody give me an amen on that one? It's not the one I wanted to hear. I wanted the love, joy, peace part. But don't tell me about the suffering part. But the Bible is very real. In fact, Job says these words. He says, when he's thinking about God, he says this, shall we accept good from God and not adversity, or some versions say not calamity? Shall we not accept both good and horrible? And Jesus, he brings it to the table too. He goes, listen, I've told you these things, that in me you will have peace. So he talks about the peace thing, but then he says this, but in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble. I have overcome the world. Now in 2 Corinthians 4, our text this morning, I'm going to read to you from what's called J.B. Phillips version. And do we have that slide? There we go. We are persecuted, but never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, but we're never knocked out. Every day we experience something of the death of the Lord Jesus, so that we may also know the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours. I want you to repeat after me. I've been knocked down, but not knocked out. Let's try that again. Been knocked down, but not knocked out. So when Paul's saying we've been persecuted, when we've been knocked down, he uses the word in the original, afflicted. So I looked it up, and the word afflicted here in the Greek says this, it's pressure, as when grapes get squeezed by a wine press. Question, have you been squeezed lately by the pressures of life? Has life kind of crunched you a little bit, kind of crushed you a little bit? Paul says, we've been afflicted, but he says this, I've been knocked down, but I haven't been knocked out. Why? Because I think that part of the battle on earth is understanding that there's training going on behind the scenes. So even like when you're sleeping, God is working something in you. He's training you for future battles. Now, how many of you have ever seen the movie Karate Kid? Anybody seen Karate Kid? One of my favorite movies. And in this scene that I'm about ready to show you, Mr. Miyagi is going to be teaching Daniel-san something about a future battle. But Daniel doesn't really know it, but he's been beaten up pretty badly. He's in this karate tournament. And I'm not going to tell you the ending if you haven't seen it. It's worth seeing the end of the movie, but I won't tell you what happens. But Mr. Miyagi is training him for something, and he doesn't really understand it, just like a lot of us don't understand. Why are we being trained for what and when and how? And so Mr. Miyagi is teaching him something about fighting, and he's going to do it through painting a fence. Let's watch this clip. Daniel's son is probably asking the universal question that you're asking, why am I doing this? Why am I going through this difficulty? Why is this happening in our marriage? Why do I have pain? Why do I keep seeing doctor after doctor? Why is this therapy not working? Why is my job so awful? Why do I have a boss that I don't get along with? And you're probably asking the question that we all ask, what do I do when I experience blows? What do I do when I experience punches? Maybe for some of you, it's relational, and there's a relationship issues, and you're getting punched. Maybe for some of you, it's mental or physical. Maybe for some of you, it's emotional. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's work. But I have a feeling that most of us in this room are getting punched somewhere. And the question this morning is, how do we handle those punches? How do we get knocked down but not knocked out? Now, let me confess a story to you when I was in eighth grade. How many of you are adults here? Could I see hands? Like you're over 18. Okay, over 18, put your hands up. How many of you remember middle school? Okay, how many of you would like to forget middle school? Okay, so eighth grade. Remember eighth grade? So I was about 5'4". And maybe 110 pounds. I was pretty tiny. And there was a bully in the school, and he was in our grade too, and he was tall. He was 6'5", okay, in eighth grade, okay? And he greased his hair back, okay? And he never talked to anybody. He was very introverted. He was kind of an isolated dude. And one of his names was Graham. I can't remember if it was his first or last name, but we behind his back called him Graham Cracker, okay? And so in class one day, evidently the word had gotten to him that David Oshine was making fun of his name, that I was calling him Graham Cracker. So he wrote a little big piece of, you know, lined sheets that said this: how many of you would like to see a fight at the end of the day? If you'd like to see a fight at the end of the day, put your name down. So what's going on is, and I'm not even paying attention to this, but there's a piece of paper that's getting passed down row one, down row two, down row three. I'm in row four. And by the time it gets to me, there's 34 names saying they want to see a fight. And it dawned on me that the guy was writing about, the Graham Cracker guy, was talking about me. He wanted to fight me. So I'm walking home, and I'm not thinking much about it. And I turn around. There's 34 people chasing me to my house. Okay, so I'm a little skinny kid. So I run to my house, shut the door, lock the door, run upstairs, sweating. My mom's like, what's going on? I was like, there's guys after me. Don't open the door. Well, they knock on the door. She opens the door. She said, my son's not available. So I don't know if any of you guys have ever done what I'm about ready to tell you, but I faked being sick the next day. Okay, could we have a group therapy moment? Has anyone ever faked sickness? Okay, oh, you guys are so stinking holy. Good grief. Come on, really? Really? Jeff Philpott, you never fake sick? There you go. Thank you. There we go. So I don't know. I kept putting a hot compress to my head so that my mom was like, oh, you've got 103 temperature. I better take you to the hospital. I was like, no, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. You know, I went and got some cold water, cooled it. Anyway, I faked being sick at least a day, if not two. Finally went back to school hoping this thing would pass. It hadn't. As I was walking out of school that day, the bully confronted me. He said, we're going to fight. We're going to go fight now. I said, so we went to our neighbors, and I lived really close to my middle school. We went to the neighbor's house, and as we're about ready to fight, and I know this guy is going to cream me. You know, I am going to be like a little dead Jewish boy. I mean, he's going to kill me. I mean, maybe not kill me, but he's going to pulverize me. So right at the last second, I use my great Jewish brain, and I say to this guy, whoa, before we fight, how about this? First person on the count of three, fight's over. And he looks at the crowd, and they're like, yeah, sure, why not? So remember, this is my first and only fight of my whole life, unless something's going to transpire after the service. And so we're like this, and I don't really know how to fight. I just know you got to protect yourself. And he hit me once, boom, right there in the head. I went down on the ground, okay? And all of a sudden, I decided, I better act like I'm really hurt, right? So I'm like, oh, and I'm thinking, please count. Ah! And I hear one. Ah! Two. Ah! Three. So I get a little dirt in my head. Pull myself up real slowly. Ah. I don't even look at the guy. I just shake his hand. I just reach out to shake his hand. He shook mine. I walked away. Now, I didn't know this Bible verse, but this thought came to my head. As I was walking home, kind of like, I felt like Rocky, even though I kind of lost, I kind of won. I walked away thinking, I've been knocked down, but I haven't been knocked out. And today, for some of you, you've been knocked and hit and punched. And I want to suggest this morning a couple ways to handle those punches of life from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think this is really practical stuff. Here's the first one. You guys still with me? Still here? Anyone ever been in a fight, fist fight? Could we have a group therapy moment? One, two, three, all the guys. No women putting. Michelle Philpott? Oh, you've been in a fight? Was a girl or a guy? Oh, it was both. Oh, don't mess with me afterwards, okay, please. Number one, principle number one. You guys ready? Live in the tension as both broken jars of clay. The Bible calls it, we're jars of clay. I'll talk about that in a second, and the power of God, the treasure that's inside of you. So juxtapose Paul's saying this. Everybody who is a Jesus follower has two things going for themselves. Number one, you are broken. You are called a jar of clay. You're broken, you're fragile, and it happened from Genesis on. We were all broken because of sin. So we kind of grow up in sin. We grow up brokenness. He says, that's what's going for you. That's the bad news. The good news is over here. You've got something inside of you called the Holy Spirit that has power for you to live this thing called the Christian life in you and through you. But most of us live over here. We spend all the time on the first part. I'm so broken. Has anyone ever felt like a mess? Anyone ever felt like a hot mess? Ever felt like what I'm going through, this is too much. This is like, this is not worth my pay grade, you know? But when we spend a lot of time there, we lean toward that human broken side. Woe is me. And we share our problems, we share our prayers, da-da-da-da. But what would it look like if we moved a little bit toward the other side of the spectrum, the tension of what if we leaned more on the, I'm weak, but man, I'm strong because I got the power of Christ in me. And what would it look like for some of us if like you started to get to the point that you said, yeah, I know I'm broken, I know I'm a jar of clay, but I've got this treasure in me, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the gospel, I've got this inside me. What if I were leaning toward that a little bit more? And for us who have jobs or we teach or we preach or we're moms or whatever we do in life, have you gotten to the point that you've said these words, Lord, I can't pull this off unless the power of Christ works through me. Have you ever said that? Because if you're just like, I can't pull it off, and you stay here, you can't do much. But if you start to realize, I'm going to live in a tension until I die, until I head to heaven, I'm going to live in this tension of broken jars versus power of Christ. If I could start moving more here, how would your life change? In my prayer, every time I do anything that feels like has any significance on people, is my prayer is this, Lord, I am a broken jar of clay and I'm weak, but I am also strong, not because of me, but because of the power of Christ that rests on me. Does that make sense? Turn to the person next to you and say, that makes sense. You have the power of Jesus inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jeff and I talk about this all the time. Before he and I preach or do whatever, and it's not just preaching, it's anything in life. We pray this prayer. Lord, I can't pull this off. In my own strength, I cannot do this, but you can. And so anything that deals with impacting others, that should be your dominant prayer. I'm a jar of clay, but I've got the power and treasure inside of me. Number two, how do you handle the punches of life? You recognize this. Our bodies are failing, but our inner person is being renewed day by day. Paul's making this point here, and he goes on to say this. If you focus only on the first part, the body is decaying. How many of you question group therapy? How are you getting older? Okay. How many of you are aging? Okay. How many feel like there's some days your body doesn't work too well? Okay. If we focus only on that, you're going to get discouraged. That's why he says you're going to get weary. But he says, don't get weary. Why? Because there's something powerful going on inside of you. The Holy Spirit is working when you're sleeping. The Holy Spirit is training you like Mr. Miyagi was training Daniel's son for that future event that he was going to use. Every fence move, he's going to use that in his final fight. Daniel's son doesn't know that. And for some of you, you're going through something right now. You don't know why, but you're asking why. Because what's going on inside of you is that inside of you, you are being renewed day by day. And whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, you're all going to get old and you're all going to die and we're all going to die. And some are going to suffer and some are going to suffer more than others. David Crowder says this, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And it's true. And Paul keeps coming back to the suffering of Jesus. Something that we don't like to talk about. But he says, listen, here's part of the package. If you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be a time that you're going to suffer and you go through hardship and you're going to get punched. By the way, Jesus on the cross was getting punched, but it didn't surprise God the Father because something's going to happen 3 days later. You can't keep a good man down and he's going to rise from the dead. Amen? Principle number three, recognize that trials are momentary and light affliction. So here again, Paul is saying this. Listen, he's saying, you're living in the now, but there's something future coming. And some people are like, they're so earthly minded that they're heavenly no good. And there's some people that are so heavenly minded, they're earthly no good. I think there's a balance. I like living on planet Earth. I like being married. I like having kids. I like the fact that my daughter's getting married soon. I like the fact that my son is growing. I like watching football. I like Earth. But I also know it's not my home, ultimately. I know that there's something greater and bigger. And that's what Paul's saying. Listen, whatever you're going through, it's light. It's momentary. This affliction, like these grapes getting crushed, it's just a teeny bit compared to the bigger picture of what you're about to experience. And I don't think about heaven a ton, but I think that when we get older, we start thinking about it more. And your takeaway is pretty simple this morning. I want you to look to the unseen, the eternal. Because if you spend all your time taking your focus on the now, you'll get discouraged. Look to the unseen, the eternal, and take some of the focus off what you see now. You say, I'm without a job. How do I do that? My marriage isn't working. How do I do that? I'm a teenager and I hate school. And everybody makes fun of me because I'm a teenager. And I don't like adults. I get it. And everyone's got something. Apostle Paul says these words. Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is what? It's eternal. Hebrews chapter 12 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, or the perfecter of our faith, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Back in 1992, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song called More to This Life. And the words go something like this: more to this life, more than just living and dying, more than just trying to make it through the day. Ultimate hope, men and women, is that when we experience tough times, punches, trials, sickness, is realizing that there is more to this life. This is not all there is. There is life after life. There is life after death. And one of the reasons why many of us have come to Christ was because of that one reason, is for eternity. And I don't know all about heaven. I don't know what it's all going to be like. I just know it's going to be unbelievable. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Live between the tension. Jars of clay, power of Christ. Outer man decaying, inner man being renewed. There's a power that comes through knowing Christ, knowing that these trials are going through temporary light, but the glory of Christ is going to shine through your life. Been punched today? Been punched last week? God's plan for you is to look at the cross, to see what he's gone through. But look also beyond the cross for the resurrection, because someday your frailed, failing body is going to be resurrected into a brand new body. So as we take communion this morning, we think about what Jesus has done for us, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you for who you are, the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. Help us now meditate on these truths that can change our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sandhills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.